4, chapter 11, entitled Swayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj. Text 26, there's no board. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Esha Bhutani Bhutatma Bhuteshu Bhuta Bhavana Sva Shaktya Mayaya Yukta Shri Jati Ati Cha Pati Cha Isha Bhutani Bhutatma Bhuteshu Bhuta Bhuvana Sva Shaktya Mayaya Yukta Shri Jati Cha Pati Pati Cha Esha. This Bhutani, all created beings, Bhuta Atma, the super soul of all living entities, Bhuta Isha, the controller of everyone, Bhuta Bhavana, the maintainer of everyone, Sva Shaktya, through his energy, Mayaya, the external energy, Yukta, through such energy, Srijati, creates, Ati, annihilates, Cha, and, Pati, maintains, Cha, and. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul of all living entities. He is the controller and maintainer of everyone through the agency of his external energy. He creates, maintains, and annihilates everyone. Report: there are two kinds of energies in the matter of creation. The Lord creates the material world through the external material energy, whereas the spiritual world is a manifestation of his internal energy. He is always associated with the internal energy, but he is always aloof from the material energy. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 4, the Lord says, Matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvabhastita. All living entities are living on me or on my energy, but I am not everywhere. He is personally always situated in the spiritual world, the material world also. Wherever the Supreme Lord is personally present, it is to be understood as being the spiritual world. For example, the Lord is worshipped in the temple by pure devotees. A temple is therefore to be understood as being the spiritual world. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul of all living entities. He is the controller and maintainer of everyone through the agency of his external energy. Thus he creates, maintains, and annihilates everyone. Om Agyan Jamanandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshuna Militam Jainatasmaya Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Jaina Bhutale Shvayam Rupakadamayam Dadanti Svarapadantitam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanandasya Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Om Mam Hem Sram Om Parom Tata Kehati Vikeshi Kajalat Parikalocha Nivadvara Kamnaka Sparsa Divasimha Namaste. This verse of Srimad Bhagavatam begins by mentioning the Lord in the heart, Paramatma. In Srila Prabhupada's books, Paramatma is referred to as the super soul. But actually, if you look throughout the Vedic literatures, you will not find this word super soul. It was Srila Prabhupada who translated the word Paramatma in this particular way. Atma, of course, means soul. And para would refer to supreme, or sometimes transcendental, supremely transcendental, atma. There's a distinction between the atma, the jiva soul, and the supreme transcendental soul, who is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya bhavavo matta sarvam bhavartate. That unique personality is Krishna. Ishvara panama Krishna satchidananda vigraha. So he's unlike the jivatma, because he's the source of all atmas. So therefore he is the para, or the supreme, the transcendental atma. But you don't find the word super soul in the Vedas. So where did the word super soul, how did Prabhupada coin this terminology, super soul? Why did he call the supreme transcendental soul Krishna the super soul? Well, one explanation has been given, that in the 1960s, the young people, we used to, the expression was very common, super consciousness, especially 1965, 1966. Everyone was talking about super consciousness, cosmic consciousness, to become totally aware of everything, the super consciousness. So Sasarupa Maharaj has said that Prabhupada has taken this word super soul from this phrase super consciousness, so that the young people of that time, they could relate to Krishna in the heart in this way. So he translated Paramatma as super soul. And interestingly enough, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in his English writings, he referred to Paramatma as the overseer. That was what he felt was appropriate at that time, overseer. So the Paramatma was translated in the 1930s by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati as overseer, and in the 1960s by Srila Prabhupada as the super soul. But the Sanskrit word is Paramatma. So as we know, this Paramatma, this overseer, this super soul, is one of the three aspects of the Absolute Truth. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Krishna is the source of the other two, the Paramatma and the Brahman. And the Brahman, of course, is the all-pervading energy of the Lord. And the Paramatma is the Lord who accompanies the living entity in his sojourn through this material existence. Actually, the super soul does not exist in the spiritual world. There's no need for the super soul, because everyone in the spiritual world is a fully enlightened soul, and they know exactly what they have to do to please Krishna. So when the living entity falls from the spiritual existence into the material world, then the Lord accompanies him as the super soul. In this way, Krishna has been glorified as the best friend of every living entity. A friend in need is a friend indeed. So someone is considered a true friend, not only when the good times are there, let the good times roll. So then when the good times are rolling, you've got lots of friends. Right? Everyone likes you because you have money and you have fame and prestige. So you have many friends. But if these things abandon you, then you can see who your real friends are. Because a real friend is one who will help you in difficult times as well. I think all of us have experienced that in the good times, so many friends were there. But when times became difficult and people had to help us with our problems, people had to take care of us, then we could see that our friends were actually limited, those who actually loved us. So Krishna is called the best friend of every living entity, because although we forget him, he never forgets us. Bahir Mukha. Bahir Mukha. Mukha means face, Bahir means to turn. So at one point we turned our face from Krishna. The example is given by Kaviraj Goswami. Like you're speaking to someone, in the midst of the conversation you just, you turn your face like this. The person's feeling insulted. I'm speaking to Maharaj and then I turn and walk away. Why is Indradhana Maharaj walking away like that? Without even saying anything, it is such an insult, Bahir Mukha, to turn your face from someone. So at one point the living entity turned his face from God. He gave up God's service, he became independent. He wished to come to this material world, so that is an insult. So we have forgotten Krishna. We have tried our best to forget Krishna. But Krishna has not forgotten us. And he's patiently waiting for that day when we'll again want to engage in his devotional service. So he accompanies us into this material existence, and he remains with us through thick and thin. Thick and thin means through the good times and the bad times. Our first birth, of course, as Prabhupada mentions in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Jivatma, when he falls from grace in the spiritual world and takes birth in this material world, his first birth is as Brahma. You take your birth as Brahma. We tend to consider that all Brahmas are pure devotees, but that's not that's not necessarily true. Generally, it's the contrary. Because Brahma is also a fallen position. In our relative position, Brahma is a very great personality. Of course, our Brahma is a pure devotee. That is something else. But even if we don't consider that Brahma is a pure devotee in any particular universe, still it's a fallen position. Because it's within the realm of material existence. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar arvitu arjuna mamupetiti kuntiya punar janma nividyate. Brahmaji is also a fallen position. He also has to take birth, he has to grow, get disease, he has to grow old, eventually he has to die. It is a birth into ignorance in this material existence. But the living entity is taking that birth, and from that birth, engaging in trying to fulfill his material desires, gradually he descends. Eventually in time, the living entity may even take birth as an Indra Gopa. Other side of the spectrum. With a glorious position, pious birth of Brahmaji down to the Indra Gopa, the living entity is from thick to thin. He's going through this situation. But throughout it all, the Lord is there in his heart, and his position is described in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham vidi shanivishto matashmitir ginam apohanamcha. What is the super soul doing there anyway? Like we say sometimes, what is a nice person like you doing in a place like this? You meet a gentleman in some brothel or some bar. You're wondering, you know, what? You're a gentleman. What are you doing here? It's like our Cardinal Danilu, who met Srila Prabhupada and discussed so strongly with him from the position of being an educated man, a transcendentalist. He was arguing with Prabhupada. What is wrong with eating the cow? The cat is very tasty, he said. So, this so-called transcendentalist, he was discovered dead two weeks later in the bed of a prostitute in Paris, a famous brothel in Paris. So one might wonder, what is a man like that, a priest, supposed to be of such high character, why did he die in the bed of a prostitute? He was preaching to her? Yes, Catholic Church said some special preaching mission. He was a little tired, so he took rest in it. But no, we all know what was happening. So what is a nice person like you doing in a place like this? So in the same way, Purushottam, God is the best amongst all men. He's not Purushottam. He's not Jaghai, Madhai, the worst amongst men. He's Purushottam, elevated, the greatest of all personalities. What is he doing here in Mrityaloka, a place of death, a place where you come to selfishly satisfy your independent desires, your material desires? What is God doing here? Actually, he's everywhere. We are just here. Our Atma is here, but his Atma is everywhere. He's the Paramatma. He's the Brahman. He's present everywhere. He's more present here than we are. So does that mean his material desires are greater than our desires? We just have this little scope of activity here we're trying to satisfy. But his arms and legs and senses are everywhere. Paramatma, he's in my heart, he's in your heart, he's in the heart of every living entity, he's within each and every atom of the universe. So what is Purushottam doing amongst the Purushottams? What is he doing here? Sarvashyacham Ridishanivishto Matashmitir Ginama Pohanamcha. That's what he's doing. Krishna says, I am seated in the heart of every living entity, and from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. That is what he's doing here. When the living entity becomes rebellious, it is the supersoul who gives him, him the intelligence to do his nonsense. One might question, why would God allow the living entity to act in such a way as to do nonsense and suffer in this world? That we must always remember, we have our small amount of independence, and Krishna will never interfere. He'll never interfere with our independence. He is the supreme independent. Viginas Swarat. He's the supreme independent person, all-pervading super soul. So we are part and parcel of Krishna, so we also have our independence. Therefore, the Lord will never interfere with that independence. Otherwise, there would ultimately, from the absolute platform, be no meaning of love. If we didn't have any independence, love is a choice. You have the choice to love or not to love. That's what makes it love. Love is something from the heart, some spontaneous feeling you have for the Lord, pure devotional service. So if the Lord forced us to love Him, then that wouldn't be love. Love means that there's a choice. That is the perfection of the spiritual world. Sometimes people ask, how is it that if everything is perfect in the spiritual world, then we left that kingdom of God? Well, part of the perfection is that we have the choice to serve Krishna or not to serve Krishna. Of course, most living entities, they don't abuse or misuse that choice. They stay with Krishna. But some do. So when they come to this material world to enjoy separately, no one becomes independent. We're always dependent upon Krishna. Nitya nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, ekubahanam, yovadidatikamam. Out of all the eternal beings, there is Eka, there is one who is maintaining and fulfilling the desires of every living entity. So that is Krishna. So he awards us, or fulfills our desires and awards us the results of our past activities. So why would the good God do this? As they say in French, the bon Dieu. If God is good, then why is He allowing us to act in such a nonsense way and as a result experience so much suffering in this world? Well, this is called argumentum ad baculum, a Latin word, which means basically at the end there's only the stick. Argumentum ad baculum. You can speak and speak and try to convince someone of your opinion, but if they don't agree and you're the boss, then in the end you take the stick and say, okay, you understand now? Yes, sir. Bring us to our senses. So ultimately the Lord, He brings us to our senses by having us experience how miserable it is to exist without Him. That's the purpose of this material world. So He's waiting, waiting, waiting in our hearts. Dva suparna sayuja sahakya. It's stated, the soul and the super soul within the body are situated as two birds within a tree. Dva suparna sayuja sakyaha. This is a verse from the Mundaka Upanishad. Suparna. Su means nice and parna means feathers. So there's two suparnas. There's two birds of nice feathers. Same feathers. Nice. It can also mean like similarly nice. Suparna. We have the same feathers. Quality, we're one with the Lord. So these two birds of the same feathers, they're sitting in the tree. We all know the analogy because we use it again and again in our preaching. When one bird, the super soul, is watching the activities of the other bird, the jivatma, and when the jivatma gets tired of eating the fruits of that tree, then he turns to the super soul for help. So when we become tired of the fruit of our activities in this material existence, we cry out, my Lord, my dear Lord, if you're there, please help me. And the Lord begins to give us the intelligence. Tesham satyati yuktanam vajatam pratipurvikam dadami bhuriyogamtam yenamam upayantite. As soon as we become, the Lord detects just the slightest disinterest in material life. As soon as He detects the slightest frustration, He takes advantage of that by putting us into contact to good association. What is good association? Association of the devotees. The Lord is always giving us good instruction. But due to our false ego, we cannot hear. We all know, sometimes we make a mistake, and we're prepared to do something, we know it's wrong, but still we do it. Our consciousness is telling us, this is not right. Because of our strong desires for sense gratification, and because of our false ego, we cannot hear the Lord in our heart. We cannot hear his good instruction due to our false ego. That false ego is so strong that Krishna warned Arjuna at the end of Bhagavad Gita. He'd spoken the whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He said, now you can act as you desire. Now you can act upon my instructions. But if you act according to false ego, you will be lost. So Krishna knew how strong the false ego, the independent nature is. That even after hearing directly from the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, now that's pretty potent. Krishna is the Adi Guru, he's the original Guru. So Arjuna was Krishna's friend, and he became his surrendered devotee. And the Lord gave him very potent instructions, 45 minutes. If you read the Bhagavad Gita, 45 minutes, very potent. He said, now it's up to you. You can, if you follow my instructions, everything will be perfect, but if you act according to your false ego, everything will be lost. I'm going to turn this off. If you act according to the false ego, then everything will be lost. So because this false ego is so powerful that even sometimes in devotional service we have a difficult time accepting good instruction. We have to overcome this independent attitude and atmanivedanam, fully surrender to Krishna or Krishna's representative in order to get the full benefit of devotional service. I'm not sure how this thing works. Hello? Srinathji, I'm just in the middle of class. Could you call back in about 30 minutes there? Okay, Hare Krishna. So the Lord is also calling in our heart, ding-a-ling-a-ling, please come home, ding-a-ling-a-ling, please come back, ding-a-ling-a-ling. You see, but due to our false ego, we cannot hear him within our heart. So therefore the Lord, understanding our position, he directs us to the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the external manifestation of the super soul. And what does that mean? The spiritual master is the external manifestation of the super soul. Upon first hearing such a statement, one would think, oh, the spiritual master is God. If he's the external manifestation of the super soul, that means that he's God. Just like Prabhupada, when he was going to perform the first initiation, the devotees asked, well, what is the meaning of initiation? This is 1966. Who is getting initiated? Brahmananda was getting initiated. Umapadi was getting initiated. Jadarani, some few devotees. So they asked Prabhupada, what is initiation? And Prabhupada said, initiation means when you accept the spiritual master as good as God. What did Prabhupada say? And he closed the book and Prabhupada went upstairs. Initiation means you accept the spiritual master as good as God. And everyone became bewildered. Now, at this time, Kirtananda was in the hospital. He was one of the senior devotees. And everyone began saying, what has Prabhupada said? I thought that Prabhupada's been saying this all along, that the living entity is not God and the spiritual master. What is going on? So they were confused, so they went to see Kirtananda. At that time, he was in good Krishna consciousness, so he explained it. Yes, you accept the spiritual master as good as God because he can take you to God. He is the representative of God. The external manifestation of the super soul therefore can be taken that he is accepted as Sakshat Hari, as good as God, because he's saying the same thing as God. That is his qualification. The first criteria of a bona fide spiritual master is he doesn't say anything different than Krishna. He simply repeats the message according to his realization. He's the transparent via medium. So, in that sense, the spiritual master is considered the external manifestation of the super soul. So, because we cannot hear the Lord in our heart, he manifests his potency through our spiritual master. Now, we can ignore the super soul in our heart. Our consciousness, our good consciousness can be saying, we shouldn't do this, and we can go, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Our emotions are so strong. Our desires are so strong, we don't even listen to good intelligence. The Christians say that the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. So we might ignore the good instruction of the Lord in our heart. We may even ignore the good instruction which is given in Shastra. But it's much more difficult to disobey the spiritual master. You have to be really rascal. Actually, if one disobeys the spiritual, Prabhupada said that disciple means discipline. So what a real disciple is one who follows the instructions of the spiritual master, not one who makes a show of it and does all kinds of nonsense. Of course, there may be some temporary fall down. That's something else. But the sincere disciple is one who executes the instruction of his spiritual master his entire life, eternally. So we can disobey the Lord in our heart. We can tend to ignore his instructions. But it's much more difficult to accept his external, reject or disobey his external manifestation as the spiritual master. A very good example is Krishna Das. Krishna Das was the servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so fortunate that he received the service. He was able to engage in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu traveled to South India, Krishna Das went along as his servant. Now, we know that there were some Bhattaharis, low-class gypsy-like people, and somehow or other Krishna Das, he fell into their company and became attracted to the gypsy women. Now, of course, being such an intimate follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, obviously knew this was wrong, but he couldn't control himself. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that he'd fallen into this bad company, he personally went there and dragged him back by the hair. So his spiritual master, of course, was the Lord himself. So here's an example where one may ignore the good instruction of the Lord in the heart, but his external manifestation as the spiritual master, it's difficult to disobey him. Because once we surrender to a spiritual master, that spiritual master takes charge of us and corrects us, even in our disobedience. Just as we take a vow at the moment of initiation to the spiritual master, that we'll chant 16 rounds a day and follow the four regulative principles, the spiritual master is also taking a vow in one sense. He vows to the disciple that I will do everything within my power to deliver you back home, back to Godhead. That he will takes that vow that he will connect us to the lotus feet of Śrīla Prabhupāda and Guru Parampara, thus assuring that within due course of time we can go back home to Godhead. So just as we take a vow at the moment of initiation, the spiritual master is also taking his responsibility very seriously. So when we disobey the spiritual master, he does everything within his power to correct us. So that is the difference. Although the spiritual master and the super soul are one in one sense, the difference is that the spiritual master takes that responsibility to take us back to the spiritual world. So even in our disobedient state, he will correct us and bring us to our senses. So therefore, we have to have full faith in the spiritual master at all times. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru. We can never trust our rascal mind. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the mind can be the best friend or it can be the worst enemy. For at present, our minds are our worst enemies because there's so much attracted to this material energy. And one who is attracted to this material energy, who's involved in sense gratification, we know that ultimately his good intelligence is stolen away by the illusive energy. So as long as there's any tinge of attraction to this material world, we know we can still make a mistake. Therefore, at every stage, we must be fully dependent upon our spiritual master to give us good instruction. Our mind is such a rascal. Even after repeated attempts to attract the mind to Krishna, it still returns to sense gratification. Just like the tail of a dog. There's a curly tail of a dog, so you might think, I'll straighten it out. And you make it into a nice straight line, you say, finally I've done my business. And then you let go, boing. And you take that curly tail and you stretch it out again. Aha, I've conquered the tail. And then you let it go, moing. You know, time and again. So similarly, our mind is attracted to materialistic things, sense gratification, and again we're trying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I've done it. Hare Krishna. And as soon as we get in the car, we start driving down to Durban, boing, we see this object or that object. So our mind is such a rascal. For so many years of trying to situate it at the lotus feet of Krishna, boing. So how can we trust our mind? A graphic example, even more graphic example, is that of Bibhamangal Thakur. After risking his very life by swimming across the river on a dead body, climbing the wall from a python snake, and coming into the house of Chintamani to enjoy, she said to him, "My dear sir, if you had the same determination to become Krishna conscious as you have to enjoy my body, you would be..." And usually we leave the story at that. Most devotees may tell this pastime. So then, Bibhamangal Thakur, he became a great devotee. He went to Vrindavan and surrendered. That's not exactly what happened. After becoming enlightened by his Shiksha Guru, Chintamani, then he went on the path to Vrindavan. But on the way to Vrindavan, he saw one young lady and married woman, and he became attracted to her. Again, boing, the mind became distracted. So he asked, he had no shame. He said, "Will you enjoy with me?" So at that moment, the lady's husband came home. And then, you know, Bibhamangal, "Oh, what have I done? Again, I've done it. This rascal senses." So he asked the lady if she had a hairpin. So he took her hairpin, poked out his eyes. So he could no longer see the attractive form of a woman. And then he went to Vrindavan. Of course, he lived there many hundreds of years and took full shelter of Krishna. But this is just to show us how unfaithful and unchaste the mind will be. So how will we conquer it? How will we conquer that mind? Ultimately, Bibhamangal Thakur, he himself gave the answer. Because when he went to Vrindavan, he said, "Now that I am tasting this ever-increasing rasa with Krishna, this Krishna consciousness," and he uses the word rasa. So that's a very elevated stage of devotional service. We're still in the sadhan, the vaidhi stage. And when we get to the more advanced, the spontaneous stage of devotional service, the mind is spontaneously drawn to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. It is enamored by their transcendental beauty, their name, their fame, their form, their pastime. Just said, "Now that I'm enjoying this ever-fresh rasa with Krishna, whenever I think of my past activities and the material activities, I spite at the thought." Spite? Yeah, that's how Prabhupada would say it. This is Guru Parampara. The word is spit. But Prabhupada, he would say these very interesting ways that he would say things. So he would say, I spite at the thought. So we, Guru Parampara, we repeat exactly what our Guru says, so as not to lose the message. So spite. But this was his. This is ultimately how he conquered over. Now we can understand that Bibhamangal Thakur, he was attracted to this lower taste. I mean, he was so attracted, he paddled across a river on a dead body. He climbed the wall on a python. He risked the storm. So those desires were very strong. But he came to that elevated stage to determine practice in Krishna consciousness. So it's possible. Even the impossible becomes possible. You can even make the tail of the dog straight. You can even straighten out your mind. You can make your unfaithful, unchaste mind faithful to Guru and Krishna through this process of devotional service. And that is why Krishna has come to this world. Because we are attracted to the temporary beauty of this world, but nothing is more attractive than the beautiful form of the Lord. So if we take advantage of the process of Krishna consciousness as it has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada, is all attractive, then we can conquer our minds. So we'll leave it at that. Kapila Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopinanandi. Are there any questions? Comments? Heard it said the other way around, that the soul is represented by consciousness. We know the presence of the soul because consciousness is present. We know the difference between a living body and a dead body. We can't see the soul, but because the soul is represented by consciousness, if there's consciousness within the body, we know the soul is present. And if there's no longer any consciousness within the body, we know the soul has departed. I don't think so. The same word, consciousness, talking about the same awareness of the soul. Just like we are, because we are, our soul is present within this body, therefore we are conscious of this body. We are conscious of this body from the top of the head to the tip of the toe, because the soul is present. But the super soul is conscious not only of my body and your body, everyone's body, but he's conscious of every atom in the universe because he's present there. So our consciousness is limited, but his consciousness is unlimited. Another question? That is the third offense to the holy name, to disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada has compared the instructions of the spiritual master to an umbilical cord. Just like the child is within the womb, and although the child is a separate entity from the mother, still the child is intimately connected to the mother through the medium of the umbilical cord. And the umbilical cord is giving, the nutrition from the mother is giving life to the baby within the womb. So if somehow or other that umbilical cord becomes entangled, sometimes that actually happens in the womb, the umbilical cord becomes entangled, it becomes knotted, and the nutrition cannot go to the baby, then the baby dies and there's miscarriage, death within the womb. The Prabhupada said if we disobey the instructions of the spiritual master, if we close off that umbilical cord, that medium of mercy from the spiritual master, if we tie it up, when we cut it off, then that's like spiritual suicide. So the contract is eternal, but it can be broken. It can be broken if the disciple repeatedly and blatantly and consciously again and again disobeys the instructions of the spiritual master or rejects the spiritual master. Then the contact can be broken. We say, Janme Prabhu say, that he is my Lord birth after birth, but that is dependent upon our desire to follow his instructions. But even if we don't take it to that extreme, that we reject the spiritual master by disobeying his instructions repeatedly, even if we consciously disobey one or two of those instructions, then the reaction will be there. Our Krishna consciousness will decrease to whatever degree we've disobeyed that instruction. Huh? when I answered that, I tried to answer that in a class, that if the spiritual world is perfect, then how did ignorance arise so that we fell from the spiritual world? Is that your question? But the ignorance wasn't there, but the potential to fall into ignorance is always there. If the ignorance is not manifest in the spiritual world, but the potential for falling into ignorance is there, because that's the meaning of independence, that we have a choice to accept Krishna or to reject Krishna. So accepting Krishna means full Krishna consciousness, but to reject Krishna in any form, either absolutely or even a little bit, that is ignorance. So the potential of ignorance is there, although it's not manifest. As soon as it's manifest, as soon as the living entity desires to reject Krishna, then he can no longer stay in the spiritual world. It's described like lightning and thunder occur simultaneously. As soon as there's the lightning, as a result of the lightning, there's also a thunder, a sound of thunder, a clap of thunder. So as soon as we became inimical, then immediately we were sent to the material world. So there's no ignorance in the spiritual world, there's no evil in the spiritual world, but due to the fact that we have the choice to accept or reject Krishna, the potential is there. And as soon as it's manifested, we come to that place of ignorance, the place of darkness, the material creation. So again, like I said in class, it's there because if it wasn't, there would be no question of love, because love is it's a spontaneous, love means you have choice to either love someone or not to love them. The choice has to be there. So there has to be the choice in the spiritual world, a conscious choice that we are accepting Krishna. And that means that the other side that we can reject. Of course, we shouldn't think that up in the spiritual world people are scratching their heads. Should I accept Krishna or should I reject Krishna? What should I do? It's not like the neophyte devotee. There's unlimited souls in the spiritual world, and comparatively there's hardly any here in the material world. A tiny, tiny fraction. Only a few have abused that independence such as we have. Another question? Okay, Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi Radharana ki.